The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Psychovertical podcast. So this today I'm back in the talking from my house. It's absolutely like it's a really really wet outside. So maybe this is the first of the winter storms coming. What to talk about? I've already started doing this podcast once. And I was talking, answering some questions about stuff, and I didn't really have any waffle at the start, so I was just seemed a bit weird. So I think I should start again and have a bit of waffle, because the waffle's probably the best reason for listening. Well, it's not a good reason, but it's like a reason for listening to this podcast. It's funny, isn't it? How important sort of podcasts become. And how you just listen to, listen to them to death, don't you? You have like a podcast that you just listen to, and then one day you just kind of, maybe it's like relationships. You just kind of fall out of love with each other. You just hear the same story, once too often, and I think you actually fall out with yourself in the same way. You just kind of get bored to death with yourself, and you've heard all the jokes and all the stories already. So yeah, so there's a few podcasts like I really used to love the Eric Weinstein podcast. I really loved that one. It'd be interesting to go back and listen to it and just think if it was. You know, look back and think it was crap. Like everything's, like hindsight's, you know, kind of it's an amazing thing. Like the internet, in that you can just, you know, everything's sort of documented. So you can go back and, you know, people will be saying like, oh, there'll be no war, or you know, COVID won't be a big thing, or you know, all these kind of things. And sometimes you have to, you know, you can go back in a year, then you have to go back maybe after 10 years and see if they were right in the end. So. I do find like podcasts seems a big thing. Like at the moment, I'm training for something. I don't know what I'm training for, but I think when, because I was over in the UK for like a month and a bit, and had all my mum's funeral and all that kind of stuff. I kind of got really fat, so I just came. I can always tell when I'm really fat is that I've got my waterproof jacket. I basically own like one like Montane sort of waterproof jacket, like sort of Gore-Tex jacket, and it just fits me. It's like for alpine climbing kind of thing. It's kind of heavy duty, but it's like, I think it's meant for alpine climbers. It's very sort of tapered. It's not very baggy. So if I start zipping it up, I'm like, I could like pull my stomach in. I know I've got, you know, I'm getting fat, so that's my benchmark. But I was, I think I was quite heavy. I was probably like 100 kilos. And then the next time I looked, I was about 109 kilos. And then I've been training quite a quite a lot. So now we're now like 110 kilos. So then you're like, am I getting fatter? Am I getting fitter? What's going on? So it's probably yeah, scales are a funny thing, aren't they? I guess it's how you feel. I guess it's how you're feeling yourself. If you're if you're feeling strong. If you're feeling strong, you're always gonna feel heavier, I guess. Like my current thing is that, so I got this baby coming soon, so I'm aware that the clock is ticking. Like, all of a sudden, I'm not going to want to be getting up early. I just want to get as much sleep as possible. But I kind of get up at 6 a.m, and then I have to do it without waking the other child up or waking my wife up, heavily pregnant wife. So I just have my Garmin watch that just kind of buzzes, kind of like vibrates. So I can hear it vibrating. So I get up, go downstairs. I'm not allowed to put the kettle on because it might wake Noah up or something. So I have to like creep around, have a pan of water. And I think the idea is you get up at 6 and then you've got to get out there as soon as possible. But often I'm drinking my cup of tea and it's like nearly 7 o'clock. I'm just like, sat there and fuck all. So anyway, so I go out into the shed and at the moment I'm just doing, I was doing quite a lot of sort of bar work, what we call it, not working in a bar, but that kind of stuff. But I'm never quite sure. Although I can end up, lifting much heavier weights, I think maybe it's an age thing, but I actually don't feel that healthy doing it, if you know what I mean. Like when I'm like bent, maybe because I'm tired, but if you're bending down with Noah and you're like, oh God, my legs are, I can't stand up or something. It's, I'm never quite sure, I don't know. It's a weird thing. But so I've just been doing like kettlebells because I do find the kettlebell thing really, it seems to be more applicable just for being a dad, if you know what I mean. It seems to be more effective. And it's also like, I really don't like going for a run, and it's much more, like a workout, like going for a run, but not having to go anywhere, like just doing your shed. And I tend to try and do as close to like 1,000 calories in about an hour. The aim is to sort of burn about 1,000 calories. I'm only going like it's probably not 1,000 calories. I'm just going by what my I have like a heart. One of those things you put around your heart, those bands, and then it just picks it up on the iPad. I've got like a training, like an app on the training thing where I put in all the, if you're doing circuits or whatever, and it measures your heart at the same time, so you can see so you can have an excuse. Like if your heart rate's up to like 170, you can have a little break or something, and then wait for it to go back down again. Just lots of like simple exercises like kettlebell swings and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's quite good. I usually do like one exercise every minute. So your exercise and your rest are in the same, they're all together. So if you do an exercise that takes a long time, like a sort of compound exercise, what's it called? An armor build or whatever it's called, where you do two swings, overhead press, 3 squats, like that might take, more than 30 seconds, and then you haven't got much time to have a rest, and then you have to go into the next thing. So generally, do like, a swing, kettlebell swing, then I'll do a deadlift I've got like a really heavy kettlebell, like 48 kilos, I'll do 10 of that, and then I'll do, that kind of thing, and generally try and do. I always like to do like 100 exercises, 100 sets. Is it 100 sets? 100 reps? 100 sets? No, 100 reps. So yeah, so I'd be doing like 10 kettlebells, 10 deadlifts, and I'd do that like 10 times. So I'd have like 10 anyway, not very good with maths, but that kind of thing. Anyway, so it's quite good. I always feel, I think if you have to have a shower if you've been training and you have to have a shower afterwards, then that's training. And if you can't, if you just like go in, make a cup of tea and sit down and carry on the rest of your day, that's probably something else. So I think it's interesting. It's not interesting at all. It's just stuff. So yeah. But it was a very interesting podcast this week. Since this week, Jocko Willink. He was talking to some guy who was some Navy SEAL type character, and you know, he was basically fucked over by being a Navy SEAL for years and years and years, and he ended up being prescribed about 10 different medications towards the end. You know, like one for depression, and then they made him so he couldn't sleep, so they give him another one to help him sleep, but that they give him migraines, so they give him another one for the migraines, and just this, like, you know, you're like, what the fuck? You know, if you're doing this to a dog, you'd be like, oh, that's a bad idea. Just anyway, but they were saying that there's a lot of data that, you know, that just exercise and raising your heart rate has a more beneficial effect than any of these drugs and things, which is you know, it's kind of obvious, I guess. So I tend to always have podcasts I'm listening to, you know, when I'm listening to that. I guess it affects your mood. The kind of podcasts, like some of them bring you down, and some of them are funny. There's too many funny ones, but you know, some of them are funny. But I actually signed up to that Masterclass thing, Masterclass website. You always see those adverts for it. And so I've been listening to like David Lynch talking about making films and stuff. And maybe it's more productive than if you're listening to stuff about social justice, you know, like, you know, all that kind of shite, you know, going on in America. Like, does it really matter what's going on in like New York schools? You know, if I live in Ireland. So I kind of enjoy that. And then I don't really feel like I'm training for anything at the moment. Like my son went back to England eventually. So he packed up his job, went back to England. He hasn't got another job since. So it's, I don't know. I think if you give your job up, you should probably have another job before you give it up. Because I don't know, when you've got a job, it seems much more easy to get another job, or you feel much more optimistic. But as soon as you haven't got a job, everything seems really desperate, and I think maybe people can tell that, unless you're giving up your job to do something, you know, something else. You know, if you're going to go off for 6 months or whatever, or do something, then coming back, in a way, I think maybe people think, oh, this guy's just been off traveling around the world for 6 months. Let's entrap him in another job. You know, a bastard. You know, so they do it on purpose to, you know, give you lots of like, you know, perks and things. So yeah, so hopefully gets a job. I'm trying to get him I really want him to come back to live in Ireland, because I quite like my kids being sort of, you know, I think it's very important to have like some sort of, to keep your family around you. You know, this atomized world we live in, where everybody lives, you know, in Timbuktu, it's kind of good. It's good to in some degrees, but I think it's probably not good in more. Like, it's good to have that, you know, that your support network and things. It's kind of important. So what was my point? Yeah. So he said that he reckons I'm like some assassin who's like retired. Like, I'd be like like Liam Neeson or someone, like working in my garden, like, oh, with an ice axe or something, like chopping a tree down with an ice axe. Oh, yes. Yes, I've got an unusual set of skills. I've not done any trips for such a long time. But yeah, you're kind of writing about stuff to do with all that kind of stuff, like sort of mining all the stuff you've got in your head from the past. It is kind of weird. But I am kind of aware that maybe, I don't know why, but for some reason, my latest child has made me a lot more kind of anxious about, like, if your life was a film, and you suddenly, you know, your life was all struggle and going off and doing things where you could die doing them. And then eventually you find some place where you're completely happy and content, and then you die doing something completely pointless. You know, that would be like quite a, you know, poignant part in a film. So I think I feel a little bit like that. Vanessa's always like, oh, you need to go to Yosemite, or you need to go and do something. And I'm like, oh, I'm all right. I'm fine. fine doing this. Like, yeah, it's a bit weird. Like, it's seeing, like, this week, like, Hillary Nelson died, you know, skiing down, was it Manaslu, wherever it is? I remember meeting, I think I've met her a few times, but I was on, like, a panel with her in Banff, and you know, it's like so tragic. It is a real you know, like, it's so hard to stop doing it, isn't it? Like, you just you're compelled to. I think you're compelled to keep doing it because you don't know what else you could do, really. Like, it probably becomes. Like, you know, maybe one reason for going off and doing some trip will be just to have something to talk about. Like, if you're doing another slideshow or something. Like, I don't ever want to be the person who's doing a slideshow about something that happened, like, 20 years ago. Like, I always like to be talking about, you know, things that have happened recently. And I really don't even like, on Instagram, like, posting, you know, old pictures of some being in somewhere or other, because I don't know, it's like a, I just don't like it. I just don't like it. And it's, so yeah, so I am often, you know, I think often, you know, people who are soldiers and they end up signing up and, you know, fighting in some, you know, like a mercenary or signing up for some military contract type thing. I think maybe it's because they don't really know what else to do. Like, it's what they're good at, in a way. You know, it's like the only thing they're good at. Like, they don't want to go and get a job in, like, someone offered me a job in a cattery. Basically, they came round and like, oh, would you be interested in coming and looking after the cats? Like, you know, in the mornings, like, come up to this cattery and sort all the cats out. I was like, well, I don't like cat shit, I don't like cat food, and I don't like cats, so I think I like pass on it. But then Vanessa was like, oh, you give up, it could have been a nice little job for you, that doing the cats. I'm like, no, I'm not fucking sorting out cats. And but there is that part of you that's like, you know, maybe it would be good to, you know, to, because I think you do get like hooked on this, on the, like, Hillary. You know, you'd always be the next big thing, the next big, you know, trip. And for all her successes, if you look at like a Wikipedia page, you'd see all these successes. But there would have been, you know, five times the amount of trips she went on where things didn't turn out as they wanted or didn't get things done. And I know you're not supposed to say this, but I don't know, like, when you've got kids, it is worse if you're the mother than if you're the father. Like, I know you're not supposed to say that, but it is true. There's a bond between like a mother and a child that you just don't have. You know, you don't have that with your dad. Like, I don't know if it's like a biological thing, but yeah, it is much easier for your dad to just like go out the door and never come back. But it's not as easy for, you know, like, I you wonder about, you know, I don't know, you just like, you know, peak climbers whose mums have died, and then they, you know, it's just, it does have an effect. Like, some, you know, you meet some people where their dad's died climbing and they're basically kind of obsessed about their dads and their, how they died and the climb and everything else. And it's kind of unhealthy. It's probably best just to wait until, don't die until your kids really fucking hate you. And then they'll be glad. They'll be like, this is a favour. So yeah, so I've started reading Brian Hall's book, and that's really highly recommended. Is it called High Risk?
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Or something about looking at back at the 1970s, 1980s, all the British climbers who died, like Himalayan mountaineering. But it really is, you know, like Himalayan stuff, it really is so fucking dangerous. And I think there's something about being on a glacier. Like someone's told me, if you ever go on a climbing trip, a big expedition, when you come home, don't make any massive changes in your life, like don't pack your job in, don't end your relationships or anything like that, because you're kind of not you're not in your right mind when you come home. You have to give it some time, and like I've done that myself. I've come back and was not in my right state of mind and packed in relationships and done like crazy shit because it's, you know, I don't know, maybe it's like self sabotage, I don't know, but I think the reverse is also true, is that when you go from the real world, it's almost like what goes on in Vegas, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Like when you're on the glacier in some tent for like 2 months or something, or, you know, in the middle of nowhere, you kind of become detached from reality. You're almost like in this like film soap opera thing, and you don't really... You know, like when you set off up the glacier to try and go for the summit of K2, you haven't got your children like crying, you know, like pulling at your legs, telling you not to die, daddy, and all that kind of stuff. And you get away with it. And then you think, well, next, you know, you're here today, gone tomorrow, really. You know, like, you know, no one's even going to know who Hillary wasn't, you know, by next week. You're just another dead climber. It doesn't matter. Like, it's a total tragedy for your family and few people who know you, but those people who knew her, who think it's sad that she's died, you know, they've probably, countless people have died. It just joins that list of dead people you know. So it's you kind of look at the photograph. I think was she probably the same age as me. Look at the photographs of her and you think like, fuck, you should have just, like, started teaching kids to ski and just gone skiing, do you know what I mean? Just spend the rest of your life. Just do something that actually makes you happy every day, not something that makes you happy only when you get to the top and just, you know, it's just a lot of heartache for everybody else, you know, around you and stuff. And, you know, I think Konrad Anka probably, I get the impression that when he married Alex, I can't remember her name now, Alex Lowe's wife, that he kind of made that decision that he was going to be this, you know, do the right thing and stop doing big trips and settle down and be a dad to Alex's kids and all that kind of stuff. But I don't think that lasted very long. Like you just get sucked back, because I think that world is, because it's not the real world. You know, it's so kind of intoxicating, really. It's yeah, it's very hardest thing in the world is to come back and just be a normal person and be concerned with that, with all the important stuff. Like, normal people have to deal with all the important things. And I guess the more you're one of those people who is always going away, is you're basically like the child, and you make everybody else around you be like the adult. They have to like sort out, you know, sort out all the stuff that you don't sort out because you're not around. And then when you die, you say, again, it's like the ultimate, you know, like someone has to sort out your funeral and get your body back and sort out death certificate and all that kind of shit. So it's, yeah, I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. I'm just saying that I think when you're young, you're like, oh, what's this old fucking bastard talking about? It's not what he's talking about. But I think as you get, older, I think is it reality? Do you get mugged by reality or do you become cynical? I very rarely comment on people's posts on Instagram and things, but I do often find myself, I have this kind of very cynical, I don't know, it's like, you kind of forget that other people aren't like you. Like they're generally the people you're commenting on. This week you had last week you had the Kurdish woman who was like, who died under the morality police in Iran. And so suddenly you got all this stuff about, you know, uprising and, you know, social justice in Iran and all that kind of stuff. And I think Hazel Finley, like, she'd give over her Instagram account or something to someone about it. You know, but to my mind, having lived long enough and seen more of this shit, is that I always think it's not what you think it's not what you think it is, and it's not going to end how you think it's going to end. Like, it's just going to end up with like loads of people dying, loads of people going to prison, loads of, you know, the worst case scenario is you get what you want. You know, you overthrow the Iranian government, and then you end up with a civil war, and you end up with like 100,000 people dying, and you end up with total, you know, like, so I think there's that kind of, again, it's like getting an old fucker, basically. Like, I'm not saying, you know, someone was commenting like, why are you just being contrarian or whatever. And it's like, I'm not being contrarian. Like, I really, like, in the past, I've been really hostile towards Islam and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, like, you know, all these fuckers, one minute they're going on about colonialism, and the next minute they're trying to, like, you know, make other countries which aren't like where they live, like them in a way. And I think you never really understand that the majority of people actually quite like, you know, like women wearing, you know, headscarves and all that kind of stuff. Like, you can't really, I don't know, like someone was saying like, oh, none of my friends, you know, they're not Muslims and they don't want to, you know, blah blah blah. And it's like, well, you probably live in like the university district of Tehran or somewhere, you know, you probably don't know anyone who's a devout Muslim. But I'm sure if you go, you know, it's a bit like when you say, I can't believe anyone would vote for Donald Trump, or I can't believe anyone would vote for the Tory party. But it doesn't mean that there's anybody out there who votes for them, because you probably find that at least 50% of people are voting for those, or if not more. So I think it's, I don't know, maybe feel like, maybe not going away on expeditions and having adversity, maybe that's one reason you probably look for trouble on social media. Because you always, you know, whenever you see like a thing on Instagram and it's just got like, you know, someone says something, you know, like, more women should get Oscars or something, you know, and you just see like 500, you know, like, you know, smiley face, you know, like hand clapping, you know, high heel shoe, you know, phone, you know, that kind of stuff, like just like non-stop. You're like, these can't be real people, these must be all, you know whatever. So I always feel compelled to say the opposite. If like, oh well, have you ever thought about this, that maybe women aren't like pre-programmed to be like selfish, obsessive, compulsive assholes like men are, you know, but maybe that's a biological thing, blah 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 blah. You know, and people would be like, don't you be that guy and all that kind of stuff. And so yeah. So it's a bit of a weird thing, you know. I guess you got to have all your wells filled. And I guess one of my wells is being an asshole. I think that's, you know, if I'm not being an asshole. I really feel like I'm sort of selling myself short if I'm not being an asshole, if I'm being really, if I'm being really nice. Like, I have noticed since, I think because, you know, the mass formation psychosis kind of idea is that you do realize that nearly everybody is fucking mad these days, and you can't have a rational conversation with anybody about almost anything, because they'll just repeat back to you this kind of, you know, cut and paste kind of viewpoint of things. There's no, like, you're much easier. Like, one place where I work, it's next to, like, in Ireland, you have the, if you're a refugee, you don't really, like in England, if you're a refugee, I think you just give you a council house or something. You just move in. But in Ireland, they basically put you in a hotel, and I think you probably stay there forever. You know, it's not a very enticing island if you're a refugee. That's why you don't get so many people trying to get into Ireland, I guess. But you can actually have a more... So where I work is next to one of these hotels. And I can actually have a more interesting conversation with someone who is a refugee, whether they're from, you know, like, you get all sorts of different people from, but like Syria, you know, you can basically get different kind of refugees in this hotel. Like, a lot of them aren't refugees. They're just from, like, Zimbabwe or somewhere. Like, they don't really need to be in Ireland. And I don't think people want to stay after a while. Like, one winter, they're like, send me back, please, you know. And we can actually have a more, effective and interesting and rewarding conversation with someone about immigration who's actually a refugee than you can with someone who, you know, who just has the, like, how, like, even today I was reading Noah some storybook about being kind, and I'm like, reading this book, I'm like, this is actually a book about, like, there's plenty of room in the tree for everybody of all colors and blah 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 blah. I'm like, this is actually kind of brainwashing him. Like, it doesn't actually, this children's book doesn't talk about the lack of housing or, like, the lack of, like, school placements for children and all this kind of stuff. It's got enough practical implications of, like, mass immigration into, like, a country. So anyway, but you can actually have those kind of conversations, because generally most refugees, most people from other parts of the world, they're, like, massively right wing, you know, kind of like right wing intolerant kind of people. If you ever do get, like, far right parties, like, you've got them in Sweden now, so I guess we'll all have them soon, is it'll be full of, like immigrant people. I'm choking now. I think I'd be poisoned by my hateful speech. Instead of having I usually have porridge for breakfast, but I'm trying with my new, trying to get a bit fitter. I've been having no wheat, so I've been having just a banana, like, I call it a milkshake, banana and some milk. If I put some of those stupid seeds in, I get really get stuck in my throat. I've also started drinking tea with tea leaves because I'm getting posh, and I highly recommend it. Actually, get one of those, like. buy a teapot, and also buy one of those little metal things, those ball things you put tea leaves in, and go to, like, an Asian shop and buy some, like, tea from, like, India or somewhere, like a big box of tea, and then you just a big, you know, cardboard box of tea, and then just because I'm prepping now, I've got lots of tea everywhere in the house, and it's very good. It's very therapeutic. You get your tea, you put your tea in your little metal thing, and then you put the water in, and it's very highly recommend it. You won't go back. You know, if someone says, do you want a cup of tea, and you go, is it a tea bag, and you go, yes, you're like, no, I don't drink tea with tea bags. You know, you can be like that kind of person. It's a bit like being a coffee wanker, but you're just like a tea, you know, loose tea wanker. But it is a lot better, because when you have the tea, if you make someone some tea, they literally will say, like, oh, this tea tastes amazing. And I'm like, yes, it's loose tea. And they won't even know what you're talking about. This is just like crazy, crazy talk. Loose tea? Anyway, I went through that phase of making bread, which I'll have to stop now because I'm not supposed to be eating wheat. I'll wait till I get down to 100 kilos then I'll start eating bread again. But I make bread, and I got that book. Was it like flour, salt, yeast, hot water, whatever it is? That book. Anyway, so I highly recommend that book. It's very good. And so I was making the bread. It's a long process of like fucking it up and then starting again and doing it again. Anyway, so but now I can make like a decent loaf of bread. But I made this bread where you mix half of it the night before, then just leave it all night and it's like doing whatever it does. And then you mix the other flour into it in the morning, and it creates like a much thicker crust. And then so I cook this bread, and usually when I making bread or making stuff, like Noah and you and Vanessa, they just don't appreciate it. They're just like, this bread's not sliced or something like that. Or like, you make like the best chicken tikka masala man has ever made in the history of the world, and they're like, it's a bit too red or something like that. Like, they're really fucking wankers when it comes to appreciating the person I am and the amount of trouble I go into trying, you know, master these things. Actually, I changed, speaking of which, I actually changed the bearings on a wheel the other day. Isn't that cool? On a wheel, like on a car. Well, not a car, on a trailer. So yeah, I felt pretty good about myself that day. Anyway, so I never appreciated it. Then this friend of mine from Dublin, Barney, and his wife came over. And Barney's like a biology teacher. It's like very, you know, it's very straight, you know, it's like a physicist. He's got a brain like that, really. So he doesn't get overly emotional about anything. And he's like, have you got any toast? I was like, well, it's from Ireland. It's a toast. Have you got any toast? So he's got any toast? So I cut him a slice of this toast, this bread. With polish, it's called bread with polish, or it is polished bread. Maybe it's Polish bread. I just didn't read it properly. And I made this toast and buttered it, and I put some. And I got this honey from Zimbabwe. Zimbabwean honey recommended to me by a Zimbabwean refugee. So I got this. I got this honey, and I give him this toast. And he started eating it. And do you know, like someone's face, where you're like, it's probably like when you first discover wanking or something. Like his face was kind of like, this is just bread. I'm just eating, you know, heated up bread here. And he was like eating it, and then he was like, oh my god, this is not just heated up bread. This is like toast, and this is not just toast. This is the best toast I've ever. And he's just, his whole body like changed. It was amazing. Like, and he was like, oh my god, that's the best toast I've ever eaten in my life. And he's like kept eating it, and I was like, then he was like, give me some more. I was like cutting the bread and putting it in for him, and he's like looking at the bread, the toaster. And so that's what you want, really. That's what you want is but women women that are into making really great toast, they just make bread. So Vanessa's come back now from so it must be nap time for Noah. So I think this was a short podcast, and I was going to read some questions, but I'll leave that till next time, because I probably just waffled on far too long about a load of old crap. So anyway, so if you remember, get your questions in, and I promise them I'm going to try and do a podcast every week, and send in your questions, and I shall answer them. Until next time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.